Well, anyway, that's time about perfect, ain't it? Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. For the sake of time this morning, we're going to go ahead and get started real quick. We understand there's prayer requests, you know, that people want to say and stuff. But I tried to squeeze 15 after 11 out of this bunch this morning. They didn't want to talk to me for some reason. I told these girls yesterday that the only fault we had was we just only had 45 minutes this morning. But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We understand there's prayer requests, things going on in the community. So if you would, please stand this morning. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless. I prayed for these girls for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm just going to turn them loose. I've asked the Lord to just fill their lungs with thunder and their tongues with fire, amen? And just let's find out just a little bit more about each other this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Teddy, would you lead us this morning? Amen. First things first. Let's Paige, introduce yourself. Now, I've got news for you, okay? She was exactly, when we started communicating about this outline and stuff, she started doing things and asking me questions and calling me. I thought that's exactly why I wanted her here. Paige, introduce yourself. Amen. Now, like I say, straight out of Delbar. She ain't far from it. And the other one's even closer, Kenzie. We are glad that she is here with us today. Like I say, the perspective I was looking for is I wanted you to hear from Paige, somebody who's hands-on with our youth, educating our youth, hearing our youth, the things that they say and stuff. She's going to come from that perspective with this fine young lady here in the middle. You know, you don't know her, and that's exactly the perspective I wanted from her. I did not want you to know her. I want her to tell you things that involve, you know, her and her friends and the things that she sees and stuff, and let you know exactly that the same thing, the same questions and stuff that we'd like to have addressed are the same things that go around everywhere else. Amen. So, Kenzie, introduce yourself, please.
My name is Kenzie Mounts. I am 18 years old. I was 9, so I was saved in 2016 and baptized in 2016. I attend Marshall University as a biology major on a pre-med track, and I'm really excited to be here today. I'm really thankful for this opportunity, and it's really nice to meet all of you guys.
Amen. All right, let's get started. We've got a lot to cover. It's going to be a great today. My thingy digger ain't working already, Kelly. Kelly, if you could go to that first slide for me. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's get this thing out. Let's set the mood for what we want to do today. It's all about one thing, and that's getting to know each other. But first, I believe, you know, with everything in me, for us to get to fully know each other and get for us to fully get to know what we need to know, first we have to get to know the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and 7 says this, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not. And she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, that's talking about directly with God, okay? That's talking about getting to know the Lord and the things of the Lord and to have a transformed mind, like Romans talks about, into the things of the Lord. What will that bring? I believe it brings the next thing and what brings us here today. I believe getting to know the Lord gives you a desire and a thing on the inside. If you're going to be a true person for the Lord and learn to disciple people, you've got to learn wisdom and get understanding into their hearts and their lives, their thoughts and what they think too. Amen? I don't know about you, but this right here bothers me. 40 million ex-evangelicals. Let's go on just a little bit more. Now, this is all messed up. This little number right here, I don't know what it is about stealing a photo off the internet, but they won't let you edit it, okay? So that's a little bit of a funny there. But that number right there is 35 million youths raised in families that call themselves Christian will say they are not by the year 2050. Wow. Let that sink in just a second. 35 million. I'm getting ready to throw this thing across the... Well, that's not it. There you go. Here's another. This number right here was the one that we just discussed. But the thing about this slide right here is that there's no theological tradition, age group, ethnicity, political view, education, leather, none of that matters. Those 40 million that used to go to church, and here's probably the most shocking thing, that's happened in the last 25 years. Not long. And part of what we're going to talk to today and the way we're going to approach this is this. We're not going to put all our cards on the table today, okay? We're going to leave doors open because we don't want this to be a one-time thing. Me and Teddy's talked, me and Pastor's talked, and you know, all of us together and stuff. We believe this is going to go farther and it's going to go deeper. It's going to reach wider, and we're going to give it more respect than to just rush through it, amen? But here's the good thing. There's a shift happening. Young people are showing a desire. How? It has to be a God. It is a God thing. You're seeing revivals pop up all over the place. And what are those people? Those are young people that have a desire and a thirst to serve God. But here's the question. And we're going to get a little bit nosy. We're going to get a little bit uncomfortable today because, church, I believe with everything in it, that it is time that we get just a little bit uncomfortable for one reason. I believe, and we're going to show through stats, and we're going to show through conversation today, not a beating of the church, because in this church, we will see, you know it beyond the shadow of a doubt, the way and our attitude toward the youth, being putting in and everything that we can do to go into that next generation. But we're not going to beat around on the church today. But what we're going to do is we're simply going to look on how we can get better at a few things, okay? I don't know about you, but right here to prove our point just a little bit before I turn the girls loose. Y'all ready? This stat right here shows simply, right here, this is a real-time stat for the year 2025. It shows clearly that Gen Z and millennials now attend church more than any other age group that there is. That shows us that the youth are coming back and they've got a desire. What are those name, age groups and stuff? Gen Z, those are born from 1999, according to where you want to know you where you fall, those from 1999 to 2015. Millennials, 84 to 98. Gen X, 1965-1983. If you're wondering about where you fall into those categories. Paige, do you have any thoughts about things that about getting ready? I know the things that you guys do are phenomenal. But what do they say about youth coming back? How are they excited? Are they ready for it? Easy thoughts. Great stuff. Let's go. I'm in ready to throw stuff. Hit me again, Kelly. Right here's the stat, and I'm sorry that the ink is colored a little different, but what I wanted you to notice right here, and I'm going to tie this right straight back into where Paige is coming from. This right here is a drop that happened from 2017 to 2020. Now, let me catch you. You're thinking COVID is the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? Actually, what happened in this stat here is that at 2020, late in 2020, when COVID hit, there was actually when this incline started happening of young people and millennials and Gen Z coming back to church. Actually, it's the opposite of what you would naturally think, that COVID caused the fall, but COVID did not cause the fall. This fall right here between this three-year period, this little rise in 2017 and then this nosedive to 2020 was caused by a few things. And you want to know the one? The perception of authenticity. Going back to exactly what Paige is talking about. Are you uncomfortable yet? Because it's going to get worse. Okay? I want you to do two things, okay? I want you to buy two books. There's two books out by David Kinneman, and there's a co-author in this first book that I mentioned. That book is mentioned, and the title of it is Unchristian. Now, you would think that it's talking about young people who are not Christian. You would think that it's addressing it, but it's not. It's about a survey that they've done of young people and their perception of the church, and the word, here it is, the word unchristian is the word that they decided to use to describe the very church people that are supposed to be winning, lead them to Christ. Right. It is well worth it. I'm not all the way through it with everything I've got, but it's great. Here's the second book. After we win them to Christ and we bring them into the church, the name of that second book is simply this: You Lost Me. Gaining them persons and holding them and discipling them, church, we have to really take a look about that cross-generational thing. What we're doing, how we're talking to this younger generation, how we're educating them, and how we're communicating to them is the utmost importance, isn't it? That's what we're going to do today. Okay? Six reasons young Christians leave church. Now, this is where we make just a little bit of a turn. I told you I wasn't letting all our cats out of the bag today. Okay? The research that come for these six reasons right here happened between the year 2007 and 2011 when the book Unchristian was released. This research stemmed that book. I told you a while ago about what me and Paige started talking. The first thing that Paige mentioned to me was this research was out of date. And I couldn't hardly answer because she's exactly right. But what I seen in Paige that night was simply this. Thank God. Thank God our youth have a watchman on the wall that will ask questions like Paige did. How about research? How they're being educated? The things that they're being taught. Thank God for that. But I tried to explain, and I've got with her and stuff, and I've explained to her this, what I'm getting ready to explain to you. You have to study history in order to know how to proceed. I believe that with everything in me. What do you mean by that, Dave? It is simply as this. Winston Churchill had one of the greatest quotes of all time, and he said this: those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. We have to learn from history. Look at stats. Look at things like we're going to do today in order to learn. Amen. Here we go. Reason number one that they said that they fell away from church. Church seems overprotective, and their view is this: Christianity feels stifling, fear-based, and risk-adverse. Kenzie?
So, like I said, I have been in church half of my life. I have had friends who are agnostic, Buddhist, believe in God but refuse to accept Him, Eastern Orthodox. I have met a number of people, and every single person that I've talked to will, to some one way or another, admit to agreeing with this statement. So in many churches, and I'm not here to say that what I'm telling you is the only way to fix these problems, but since I am Gen Z, I do feel I am qualified to speak on this just a little bit. So I'm here to just provide some insight. But in many churches, the same rigid sermons are often preached. One that comes to mind for me is, hell is hot, so get right or burn. And now, I'm not going to sit here and say, don't talk about hell, because hell exists and it needs to be talked about. But Gen Z is a highly empathetic generation. Most young people that you'll talk to will speak on trying to be accepting towards other people, trying to be inclusive. So there is a certain delivery that you have to use with a highly empathetic generation. So to keep, like, this delivery is needed to keep youth from feeling trapped or bored in church.
Bam.
So 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the aim of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. So just so you know, I'm not cherry picking this. This speaks about turning away from spreading false teachings, but in teaching the truth out of love. So these hard and scary messages, I do agree, needs to be talked about, but you don't need to look at a 13-year-old child and tell them that they're going to hell, so they need to get right. This will only cause hurt, and it will cause a complete disconnect from faith. They just won't want anything to do with it. So if you try a friend friendly and open approach that prompts conversation, it prompts connection and discussion, it creates real understanding and causes that gap to diminish.
Hey, man. Let's look at something. 23% say Christianity feels stifling, fear-based, and risk-averse. 22% say the church ignores the problems of the real world. That's a big one, ain't it? 18% says my church is too concerned that movies, music, and video games are harmful. Paige, do we hear that here out of RU? Are we directing our things toward the wrong things? Good.
They said, we do not feel that our church does that.
Amen.
Another thing, we talked about the video games, music, and also 100% said no.
Amen.
They said, there are things that we shouldn't watch or we shouldn't be listening to. And if you are a true Christian, then you know those things are not right.
That's right. That's it. Being inclusive. You're going to see that again. Go ahead, Dick.
When I'm looking at the stats and hearing them doing a wonderful job, hearing what they're sharing, their insights, and just, I tell you what immediately runs to my mind when I read those stats, what you just got up right and hear them say it, is you cannot attract people to a Pharisee witness.
Exactly.
And that's what I see.
Exactly. Exactly.
He was attracted to them because he was bringing them a message of hope and salvation and promise.
Right.
I think you got to do that and get them through the door.
That's it.
And I've always said this in this way. And I absolutely agree. You know, there's a time to learn about hell.
That's right.
When I was growing up, Gen X, I heard hell's hot, hell's real.
Right off the bat. Yep.
And even after I got saved, they still preached on hell. There was nobody lost in the whole church.
Right. That's part of that. Like I say, this is an unscripted thing. I don't know what these girls say, and I'm glad Paige said that right there because of this simple reason right here. You can tell by our church. I'm going to, you know, just a second. Don't break my thought. I'll forget it. If you break it, I'll forget it. But here's the thing. You can take an actual look here in this church and look around and see what kind of Paige and Jeffrey what kind of ministry they got and stuff and the things that they're doing. They said that one page, you know, they talked about 100% of them didn't believe this and didn't believe that, and they weren't taught and fell into the categories that we, some of these right here. That shows you in yourself right there the type of ministry that our youth are getting, and we are to be commended for it. Amen, Jeff? After.
This is because of God. But when they say, we have friends or we know people and it's just full of gay people, and this is what I tell them. You have no authority to look at them and tell them they're not loved.
Exactly.
And that they're
exactly.
People.
Exactly.
But also, you need to let them know that they are loved and they have somebody there standing beside them that is praying for them.
Exactly.
Once you get them into that area where they feel loved and they feel safe with you.
Right.
This is what Jesus wants for you. Jesus wants your life to be guided this way because he doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want to live a life without you. He doesn't want you to go to hell, because if we continue down this path, this is what's going to happen. This is how we flat out talk to our friends. We're not going to sugarcoat something.
Right.
We want them to know, but we also want them to know, do it in love.
Right.
Also tell the truth.
That's right. That's something that we're going to have to do. That communication, what you're talking about, just because somebody's doing something wrong don't mean you should turn that into hate. You know, we see it in preachers all the time. You know, they've got this one thing, you know, and they preach that thing, and they may be right, but how they're doing it is wrong, okay? Am I right? This is where what we're talking about here, that change that we need to make to communicate with people. If we go to somebody, these young people, and tell them how we've told them for years, that, you know, and do it from a wrong spirit, we're never going to get them to come into the church. Amen. And we'll see that again in just a second. Hit me again, Kelly. I'm getting ready to throw this thing in the creek. Reason number two, we got to move a little quick. We've got six of these reasons, okay? Reason number two, teens and 20-something, experience of Christianity is shallow. Let's go to the next. Their view, Christianity is irrelevant, that something is lacking. 31% say church is boring. 24% say faith is not relevant to my career choices or interests. 23% say the Bible. Here we go. Paige just hit on it. 23% say the Bible is not taught clearly or often enough. 20% say God seems missing from my church experience. Paige, you want to add any more? Praise the Lord.
Faith is not relevant to my future. 90% said yes, it is, while 10% said it depends. And on the last one, God is missing from my experience at church. 100% said no. If you don't feel God, it's your fault.
Amen. That's our youth. Pat yourself on the back, all right? Give yourself a hand. Thank God for that. Kenzie, what do you see? What are your thoughts?
Most people who feel this way, people that I've talked to who feel this way, are maybe a few months in or don't have a true deep understanding of Christ. So this is Gen Z is a generation that wants to make connections. Most importantly, the most important thing is connecting with God. But if someone who doesn't truly understand that importance yet also wants to say, what else do I get out of this? They want to know how it applies to their life. And even though that's an immature mindset, if you are Christian, you can't constantly be thinking about yourself. It is an avenue you first have to approach to bring people in. So how do we get a non-shallow view of Christianity? The word has to take root. So for it to take root, it has to be planted in good soil. So Luke 8:15, but as for the seed that landed on good soil, these are the ones who, after hearing the word, cling to it with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with steadfast endurance. So what is good soil for Gen Z? Mm-hmm. That would, in my opinion, it's connection, making connections. And how do we get those connections? Through understanding. A new Christian, young in age, needs to be able to make connections, not only to God, even though he is the most important aspect of this, but when you're young and immature, they also need to understand how it applies to their life. That is the good soil.
Amen. Good stuff, isn't it? Let's move on. What? Go ahead, Jeff. Hey, mate. Got to have that Paul and Timothy moment, don't you, Joe? Absolutely.
But I didn't have that in my early young age, and that's the reason I got away from church. I got away from the Lord.
Right.
I didn't have, there was nothing. The pinnacle was, you come to the Lord, you get saved, you go to the altar, you're done.
Right.
You've got it all right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's just the beginning.
That's right. Exactly true. Go ahead. Right, it's got to change. There's a generational gap, and that's what I'm going to close with in just a minute. There's a generational gap. Let's go to reason number three. I want to hear from Kenzie on this one. Reason number three, churches come across as antagonistic. I'm sorry, to science. Kenzie. But
so as I mentioned, I am a first-year university student on a pre-med track, hoping to be a pediatric neurologist. So this is a topic I'm really passionate about. I really have a deep appreciation for science. And as the world develops, even just, you know, I went to donate blood Friday. There are developments being made that would blow your mind. Like, the way that they check hemoglobin now is kind of crazy without sticking your finger. But a lot of people in the church don't like to talk about science because the world has turned science into, they've separated it from God, which I think is such a disservice to what science truly is. So God is the creator of all things. So to say that God didn't create science and didn't divinely intervene for science is a disservice to him. Colossians 1:16, for all things in heaven and on earth were created in him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. This includes developments in science. Science is the study of how the world works and develops. Science is the study of God's creating power.
Amen. That's
so
right.
So why can't we connect Amen. Developments in the scientific world to God? So I have been, so many times I've sat in my introductory level biology class and almost cried because I have felt the power of the Spirit so intensely. These small little things happening in the body, and all I can sit and think about is, God, you really did this for us.
Amen. Amen.
So we, again, this generation, curious. We're very curious people. We want to have discussion and sit down and look at someone and say, well, how is this scientific topic relevant to the Bible? How does that apply? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every single scientific theory out there in the world is true and credible, because we know that man does skew things. But science was created by God. The body was created by God. The earth was created by God. All of this was created by God. So we need to be able, to some extent, I'm not saying you have a PhD level conversation, but you need to be able to relay scientific discussion back to the youth and say, this is how this is relevant.
Amen. Makes sense to you? These career choices, just like Kenzie and just even Paige and Jeffrey in their sales and stuff, in the medical field, you know, the church being part of anti-science and stuff, they're going into careers that is absolutely, they've got to embrace that, and where that creative power in science comes into effect and how it's going to affect their faith, instead of hearing negative things from the church about what they are now going to do for their lives, you know, as far as an occupation. Amen. It's great stuff, isn't it? Oh, we got to move on. Lord, I'm running out of time already. Give me another one, Kelly. Right there it is, 35% said Christians are too confident that they know all the answers. 29% said Christians are out of step with the scientific world we live in. 25% says Christianity is anti-scientist, almost one in every four person. And 23% say that they're just simply tired of hearing about the evolutional debate. The church world likes to argue that evolution, and that's it. They say, that's all right, I'm done with it. You know, if that's all we've got, and they blow science off, and we've got to quit that, don't we? Give me the next one, Kelly. Let's move on real quick here. Where's Jeffrey at? Jeffrey, there he is. Here's yours, Jeff. Paige, I fixed something. Reason number four, young Christians' church experience related to sexuality are often simplistic and judgmental. You uncomfortable now? Jeffrey done brought it up. I had another page that had some stats on it. And Paige called me on it, so I took it off. I throwed it in the garbage this morning, sitting back there this morning about 8:30. But we are still going to talk about it just a little bit. But they were only two statistics that they give. The first one was this, that 17% of those children that took this survey that would even talk about it, they won't want to talk. 17% of those people, those young people, said that they've made mistakes and they feel judged because they've made those mistakes. Now, here's where the next one comes in. 40% of an unnamed group of people said this, that their educational and their Bible studies, their discussion, everything else was out of date. I take this from that. 40% of them said the way we're teaching the Bible is out of date and basically we need to change it. And then the next thing you know, they come in after they made a mistake and then we're judging them because we didn't educate them. Paige, you got anything else? Trap. That's right, anyway.
I mean, that's how God can move in your life.
That's right.
If you allow Him.
That's right.
And that's the thing that these teens have to understand. We all made mistakes.
That's right. Exactly. Come on. Come on. We got to hurry.
Another thing is, we need to stop looking at the altar as if it's a mistake. That's why we come to it.
That's, hey, oh Lord, have mercy.
A lot of access to have to the world at a young age. That almost always, I've never seen an instance where it hasn't, it leads to a lot of sexual curiosity. Homosexuality, it could lead to adult sites, stuff such as that. And that is a hard sin to carry. And it's very, very common in teens and youth. Mm-hmm. And it once they're able to get over that sin and once they're able to get out of that mindset, there's a lot of self-shame that comes with that. And the last thing that these guilty children need is someone standing over them saying, look what you've done.
That's right. Messed up.
Yeah. That's the last thing that they
That's
need.
Amen, amen. Kelly, I need you to get with me real quick. I've got two more, and we've got to touch on these. Let's go to reason number five. They wrestle with the exclusive nature of the church. Let's go to the next slide. Their view, one of open-mindedness, tolerance, and acceptance. 29% say churches are afraid of the beliefs of other faiths. 29% say they are forced to choose between their faith and friends. And I think it's 22% say church is like a country club, only for insiders. Okay? We're not going to elaborate on this. Let's go to the next one, Kelly. Let's go to the final reason. When it's that way, we can button this up. I've got to lay a last thought on you. Reason number six, the church feels unfriendly to those who doubt. Give me the next slide, please, if you would. Their view, the church is not a place that allows them to express doubts, and they do not feel safe admitting that sometimes Christianity does not make sense. Hit me with the next one, if you would, please. 36% said they were not able to ask the most pressing life questions in church. 36%. What do you say about it? Able to ask. Communication. They're not able to communicate with us. What they need the most, these folks here aren't getting. 23% say they have significant intellectual doubts about their faith. And 18% said that their faith does not help with depression or other emotional problems they experience. Girls, I'm sorry we're out of time. I tried to squeeze them for everything I could, and they wouldn't let me. Little do they know, I control the media stuff. If stuff starts happening, there may be a little payback involved with that, okay? But I want to leave you with this. I want to thank Kenzie and Paige this morning for being with us. You should smile and be proud of Paige and Jeffrey and our youth. Amen? You got to pay. It's a poor frog won't croak for his own pond. You've heard that before, and you'll hear it again. Amen? But here's what I want to leave you with. This data. Like I say, when we started this data from 2007 to 2011, it's 15 years old. It's got worse. You can crawl under a rock and think it ain't. Thank God it's not here, Paige. Thank God it sounds like to me that our youth... falling in situations that these folks are falling into. But folks, that person that you've talked to down on the street, those kids that go to school with your kids, that's another story. Have you enjoyed this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's get ready to worship God. Thank you, gals.